المصاحبين وسلم. يسعدني أن أقدم لحضراتكم فضيلة الشيخ خالد الردادي في محاضرة له بعنوان من بنى لله مسجدا بنى له الله بيتا في الجنة. فليتفضل الشيخ مشكورا حفظه الله تعالى. نعم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة
الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، فيطلب لي في هذه الأمسية أن أتذاكر وإياكم جمع بيوت الله تبارك وتعالى وبيان منزلتها ومكانتها وما يجب علينا تجاهها، فإن الحديث في هذا الشأن أو في هذا الأمر عظيم قريب، وهو من الأمور التي يأنس بذكرها أهل الإيمان ومن تعلقت قلوبهم ببيوت الله تبارك وتعالى وحرصوا على أعمارها.
نعم الشيخ. So, the Sheikh Khalid حفظه الله تعالى, he starts by saying Bismillah and he gives salam to the brothers and the sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then he starts with khutbat al-haja, which is well known. And then the Sheikh, he said, amma ba'd, this topic which we go through today is from the importance, and we study this topic together, and we have to know the importance of building a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what's incumbent upon us power this to building the masjid. But so indeed the talk, the hadith about this issue is great, and it is from the things which the people of Iman, they remember and they encourage each other to remember these things and always constantly remember that they have to put this target in front of them eyes. نعم الشيخ بارك الله فيك.
مساجد بيوت الصالحين تتعلق قلوبهم بها ويأنسون بالجلوس فيها وتطيب قلوبهم بملازمتها، فهم سواريها العامرة وأوتادها السامرة ومآثرها العامرة ومنابرها الزاخرة، يعيشون فيها كالأسماك في البحار إذا خرجت منها ماتت. قال تبارك وتعالى إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. نعم.
فذا الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى he said that the masajid is for the righteous people to be in, and them hearts attached to this masajid, وتطيب القلوب بملازمتها, and them hearts feel ease and feel comfortable while they sit in, and these people they consider to be منابرها الزاخرة, يعيشون فيها كالأسماك, they live in it as the fish they live in the sea. If they get out of this, they die. And the Shaykh, he mentions in Surah Al-Tawbah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجُ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Surah Al-Tawbah, verse number 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, the mosques of Allah shall be maintained only by those who believe in Allah and the last day, perform salat and give zakat, and fear none but Allah. It is they who are on true guidance. نعم الشيخ بارك الله فيك.
من أجل الأعمال وعبادة الله عمارة المساجد بيوت الله وحب البقاء إليه، عمارة حسية بالبناء والترميم والتنظيف، وعمارة معنوية بالصلاة فيها وتلاوة القرآن والذكر والدعاء. قال تعالى: في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. هذه البيوت التي جعلت عمارتها من أبين الأدلة على صدق الإيمان، كما تقدم في الآية السابقة: إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر أقام الصلاة. فقد أشاد الإسلام بفضل عمارة المساجد وما تعود به زيارتها على النفوس من أثر فعال، فأضافها الله تعالى إلى نفسه إضافة التشريف، فقال تعالى: وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحد. ولا غرابة فعمارة المساجد في المرآة في عبد أحوال الناس وبيان مدى رغبته بالخير.
نعم شيخ بارك الله فيكم. And then the Sheikh continued by saying that this biyud, this masajid, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هي التي جعلت على صدق الإيمان, this a proof that it showed the true iman. وقد أشاد الإسلام بفضل عمارة المساجد. And then the Islam or religion Islam, it أشاد بفضل عمارة المساجد. It encouraged us to visit the masajid, constantly come to pray in the masjid. وما يقوم على ذلك. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add this to himself when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والأصال. Surah An-Nur, verse number 36, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in houses, mosques, which Allah has ordered to be raised, to be cleaned, and to be honored, in them his name is remembered. Allah and Allah, and you studied the prayer, invocations, recitations of the Quran therein. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the afternoon or the evenings. And then the Shaykh hafidhahullah ta'ala, he said, that's not strange to visit the masajid and to constantly pray in the masjid. And this show that true believer from the person, he is not a true believer. نعم الشيخ بارك الله فيك.
نعم. وباعتياد المسلمين لها في اليوم، أي للمساجد في اليوم والليلة، خمس مرات يتضح المؤمن من المنافق. يقول عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه: ولقد رأيتها وما يتخلف عنها إلا منافق ثم النفاق أو مريض. رجه مسلم في صحيحه. وجاء عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه موقوفا قال رضي الله عنه: إذا رأيتم الرجل يعتاد المساجد فاشهدوا له بالإيمان. فلا ريب أن المساجد مزارات ضيوف الله، وحق على المزور أن يكرم من زاره، وهو تعالى أكرم الأكرمين. ومن المساجد تصعد الأعمال الصالحة وفيها تنزل الرحمات، كيف لا، والمساجد مدارس لتعليم الدين وتهذيب النفوس وتقديم الأخلاق وصقل العقائد وإنارتها. المساجد مدارس لتلاوة كتاب الله ومصحات لأمراض القلوب التي هي أخطر من أمراض الأجسام. نعم.
Now, so then the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he went on to say that the Muslims, they use these homes or these houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid, to pray in them five times a day. And the one who is not praying in the masjid, then he is on the brink of being considered to be a hypocrite. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, as it comes in Sahih Muslim, he says that we saw that there was no one who used to abstain from coming to the masjid, except that he was a munafiq, except that he was a hypocrite and his hypocrisy was known, or he was one who was considered to be sick, or he was ill. And also on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it is from his statement that he said, if you see a person who continues to go to the masjid, then bear witness that he has iman. And bear witness that he has iman. Likewise, the masajid, as the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala went on to say, that there is no doubt that the masajid, or the houses of Allah, they are the places that are visited by the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is upon the host to be generous to his guests, and there is no host that is more generous than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that in these masajid, in the houses of Allah, that the righteous actions are raised, and that Allah sends down His mercy to the masajid. And these masajid, they are schools where the people are learning their religion, and where they are learning how to behave themselves and how to perfect their characters. Likewise, the homes or the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these masajid, they are also schools where a person learns how to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where they learn how to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also a place where they find the cure for the diseases of their hearts. And the diseases of the hearts are more dangerous and more detrimental than the diseases of the body. Naam, ya Shaykh Matullah.
Naam. Inna amarat al-masajid min abraz a'mal al-birr alladhi yukhalladu بعد صاحبه ويبقى له بالذكر الحسن والثناء الجميل والثواب والأجر العظيم. وإن أحد السبع الذين يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله رجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد والمؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أعطوا المساجد حقها من العناية بها وعمروها وتعلقت بها قلوبه، فذلك لفضلها وعظيم شأنها عند الله ثم عند المسلمين الذين ما كانت لهم معاهد ولا مدارس ولا أندية إلا المساجد، وفيها يقومون واقفين بين يدي الله مدعين له بالعبودية كل يوم وليلة 5 مرات. وقد أوصى الشريف منهم كتفه بالضعيف واحتك جسمه بجسمه قياما وركوعا وسجودا وقعودا، لا يتقدم أحد على أحد ولا يستأثر مسلم على آخر بمكان أو نظام يخصه إلا العلماء وأولو الأحلام والنهى، فيقدمون لمراقبة الإمام والأخذ عنه ولما قد يقف قبل الصلاة أو بعدها من مبادلة الرأي والشطرة التي جعلها الله للمؤمنين. قال تعالى: الذين استجابوا لربهم فأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم.
So the Shaykh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala, he went on to say that indeed the maintaining the masajid, and as the Shaykh mentioned before, that the maintenance of the masjid, it includes building it, its structure, and also praying in it, as the previous Sheikh mentioned as well. He said that this maintaining the masjid is from the most clear, or from the most known actions of righteousness that would remain for the person who does it, meaning that it would remain for him after his death, in the sense that people would mention him in a good light, and that he would meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a great reward. The Shaykh also said that the one who maintains the masjid, meaning that he prays in it constantly, then he is from the 7 who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are from the people who Allah shades in his shade on the day when there is no shade. So he is the one whose heart is attached to the masajid. So the people... So the Muslims, they are to give the masajid their rights. They are to give the masajid their rights and to know the virtues of the masajid. and also to know the great status that they hold in Islam. And that is because they must give it great consideration and care. And that is because the people who came before them, they did not used to have, meaning that they had their hearts attached to the masjid. And that is because there were no institutes that were outside of the masjid. There were no schools outside of the masjid. There were no clubs outside of the masjid. Rather, the masjid was all of that for them. These people go and they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they find that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they find in that worship great comfort. Nine. And you find that in the masajid, that you find that they go five times a day, and the weak one is praying next to the strong one, and they are making ruku' together, and they are, that is, bowing in prostration together. They are bowing together. They are prostrating together. All of this, even though one may be weak and one may be strong, one may be poor and the other may be rich, but in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no Muslim that is put forth in front of another Muslim, except for the ulama and those who are known for their yani sound intellect and sound fiqh of the religion. So they are to go forth and be from the people who consult and who advise the imam, and to have some type of consultation amongst them, as the Prophet, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. Now, those who answered the call of their Lord, and their affair is between them with consultation. Now, for Fadl al-Shaykh.
رغب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن في بناء المساجد، وحتى على السعي والمبادرة وسارع بنائها، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام كما ثبت في الصحيح: من بنى لله مسجد الله له بيت في الجنة، وفي رواية: من بنى لله مسجدا قدر مرقص قطاه بنى الله له بيت في الجنة. أخرجه البزار والطبراني وابن حبان وغيرهم.
قدر إيش يا شيخنا؟ ما سمعنا.
قطاه يعني قدر يسير، وفي رواية حصاه يعني شيء يسير من المسجد. وهذا المثال من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدل على أن من ساعد في بنيان مسجد ولو بشيء قليل، بحيث تكون قصته من المسجد هذا المقدار وهو مثل القطاه، استحق هذا الثواب الجزيل، وهو أن يبني الله له بيتا في الجنة. ومن بنى مسجدا لله أو سبب في بنيانه بنية صالحة خالصة لله فقد شارك المصلين في صلوات والمتعبدين في عبادات، ما دام أثر هذا البناء موجودا إلى يوم القيامة، وذلك فضل الله والدال على الخير كفاعله.
نعم. So the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he went on to say that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام encouraged the building of the masajid, and he encouraged that one races to do these actions quickly. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and as it comes in Sahih al-Bukhari, and likewise Muslim, whoever builds a house for Allah, whoever builds a masjid for Allah, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And the Shaykh, he says that in some narrations, it comes, as it comes in al-Bazzar, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever builds a masjid for Allah, even if it is a very small amount, and in some narrations, even if it is just a stone, that Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And this example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving indicates to us that whoever helps to build a masjid, even if it is something small, even if it is only like the roof of the masjid, or even if it is just a brick, then he deserves this great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever builds a masjid, or he is a cause of the masjid being built, meaning he does not physically build it, but he is a cause of it being built by spending his money, and he has a pure intention, then he shares in the reward of everyone who prays in that masjid or worships Allah in that masjid until Yawm al-Qiyamah, as long as this building is still standing. And the one who points to good is like the one who has done it. Now. Not the Kike, Shaykhana. There's a car that is blocking the parking lot. It's a silver Nissan Altima with Pennsylvania tag EXV5184. Please move the car. نعم شيخنا تفضل.
وهذا كله يرغبنا ترغيبا شديدا في الحرص على بناء المساجد أو المساهمة في بنائها كل بقدره وكل باستطاعته. فإن في هذا قدم أجر عظيم وثواب جزيل. وهذا كله من السعي لإقامة شرع الله عز وجل، وكله يدل على تعلق المسلم بعمارة بيوت الله تبارك وتعالى والحرص عليها. ونحن قلنا بأن عمارة المساجد نوعان: عمارة فقهية تكون بالبناء والترميم والتنظيف، تقدم ما ورد في فضلها، وكذلك أيضا تعمر المساجد عمارة معنوية، عمارة معنوية صلاة فيها وتلاوة القرآن والذكر والدعاء وحلف العلم ونحو ذلك.
Now, so the Shaykh Hafidullah, he goes on to say that all of what has preceded encourages us, and it makes us have the desire to race to build the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least help in that effort of building it. And each one should participate in the capacity that he has the ability to do so, because indeed in this there is a great reward. And also in building the masajid, it is a step to establishing the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and establishing the law of Allah azza wa jalla. And all of that also shows that the Muslim should be concerned and his heart should be attached to maintaining the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being diligent in doing so. And we mentioned that the maintenance of the masajid is of two types. The first type is what is known as hijjiyya, or the actual physical, tangible type of building the structure of the masjid, cleaning the masjid, and the reward for that has already proceeded. And then the second type is what is known as ma'nawiyya, which they would usually use the term metaphorical, and I don't know another term that's better than that to use right now. But anyway, what it means is that you're praying in it, maintaining the masjid by praying in it, by making dhikr in the masjid, by calling Allah upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by reading the Quran, by sitting in the circles of knowledge. Na'am, sir.
لهذا ولغيره ينبغي أن نهتم بالمساجد وما يطرح فيها من أنشط لنعمرها بطاعة الله تعالى. فإنما الصلاة من العبادات المباركة فيها، ولكن يمكن أن يكون للمسجد أكبر من هذا الدور على أهميته. فمن الأمور التي ينبغي الاعتناء بها وهي متضمنة ومتعلق بعمارة المسجد الاهتمام من الإمام ومجلس المسؤول والمجلس المسؤول عن المسجد كذلك بما يتعلق بشؤون المسجد من خطبة الجمعة، وكذلك أيضا إيجاد حلقات تحفيظ قوية بالمسجد للصحاب على كافة مستويات ومراحله، ومد يد العطاء لهذه الحلق، فهي من أنفع ما يتربى به الشباب ويتأدب به الطلاب. وكذلك ينشأ للمسجد ما يسمى بجماعة المسجد ليقوم بالإشراف مباشر على الأنشطة المقامة فيه وتسجيل احتياجات ومتطلبات والتخطيط التجديد المفيد. وكذلك أيضا تغيث المشايخ وطلاب العلم لإلقاء الكلمات الوعظية في المسجد، وهذا يقوم به جماعة المسجد يثقون فيما بينهم بإعداد جدول يتضمن هذه الأمور. ولو أخذنا نذكر الأمور التي تتعلق بالمسجد فهي أمور عظيمة جدا، فنحن قلنا كما أنه يعمر حسيا بالبناء والتأكيد، ذلك يعمر معنويا بهذه الأمور. والمسجد بيت كل شيء كما ورد في الحديث، وإن كان فيه ضعف ورد عن بعض السلف أو بعض هذا. نعم،
آخر الكلام يا شيخنا، المسجد بيته إيش؟
بيته كل تقي.
طيب. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. He went on by saying that for these things and other than these things, it is upon us and we should have great concern and great care for the masajid that we maintain them. The salat, which is a great worship or a great form of worship in Islam, and it is a blessed form of worship in Islam, is of course to be performed in the masjid. However, the role of the masjid should not stop at the salat. Even though the salat has its great importance, the role of the masjid should not stop at salat. From the affairs that it is imperative that we have concern for is that the imam and the Majlis al-Mas'ool, or the responsible committee or executive committee from amongst the masjid, should have some type of organizational structure amongst themselves as it relates to the affairs of the masjid. Like, for example, as it relates to the khutbah. And secondly, as it relates to establishing circles for the remembrance of the Quran inside of the masjid. And they should be the first ones to do whatever they can to see that these circles of knowledge or circles for memorizing the Quran are established. And they should help them financially. Because these circles where the children and the youth are learning the Quran, and also where the other people, because the Shaykh, he mentioned that these halaqat or these circles of knowledge should be not just for the children, but it should be for every level of learning. That this is the best place where a person can be nurtured and cultivated is inside the masjid learning the Quran. Then there should be what is known as the jama'at al-masjid, or a group of brothers from amongst the masjid. These brothers have the responsibility of helping to plan future events, helping to make sure that the masjid stays organized and clean. Now, and other activities, they should host some of the students of knowledge and the mashayikh as well, so that they can remind the people and give the people advice and give them talks that will soften their heart. Likewise, they should make a schedule for these type of things to happen, so that there will be some type of organization in the masjid. If we went on to mention everything that these brothers should be doing in terms of making sure that the masjid should stay organized, it would take a long time. But now, because there are, as the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala went on to mention, that there are many great affairs that should take place in the masjid, and these affairs, as we mentioned before, are both the physical and tangible affairs, and likewise the affairs that bring life to the masjid in another sense. Allahu A'lam. تفضل الشيخ.
وعلى كل فإنه ينبغي للمسلم كما قلنا يحرص أن يحرص على تعظيم المساجد والمساهمة في عمارتها وبنائها، فقد ذكر بعض العلماء أن حرمة المساجد يتعلق به أمورا عديدة، ومن حرمة المسجد تسلم الداخل وقت الدخول إن كان القوم جلوسا، وإن لم يكن في المسجد أحد قال السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، وأن يركع ركعتين قبل أن يجلس، وأن لا يشتري فيه ولا يبيع، وأن لا يسل فيه سيفا ولا سهما، وأن لا يطلب فيه ضالة ولا يرفع فيه صوتا بغير ذكر الله، ولا يتكلم فيه بأحاديث الدنيا، وأن لا يتخطى رقاب الناس، وأن لا ينازع في المكان ولا يضيق على أحد في الصف، وأن لا يمر بين يدي مصلي، وأن لا يبصق ولا يتنخم ولا يتمخط في المسجد، وأن لا يفرقع أصابعه ويعبث بشيء من جسده، وعليه أن يتنزه من النجاسات، وأن ينزه المسجد من النجاسات والسفهاء والمجانين، وعلى المسلم أن يكثر من ذكر الله ولا يغفل عنه حال مكثه في المسجد، فإذا فعل هذه الخصال فقد أدى حق المسجد، وكان المسجد حرزا له من الشيطان الرجيم. فلمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون، في ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون، ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب، وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا. اللهم اجعلنا من الحافظين على الصلوات المكرمين بنعيم الجنات، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخنا. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. He went on to say in closing that in any event, ikhwan, in any event, dear brothers, it is upon us to be diligent. It is upon the Muslim to be diligent in maintaining the glorification of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he take every effort to participate in maintaining the masjid of Allah. And he wanted to close by mentioning some of the things that the scholars have mentioned in upholding the sanctity of the masjid. The first thing is that when you come into the masjid, or some of the etiquettes related to the masjid. The first thing is that when you come into the masjid, you should give salam to the people that are sitting in the masjid. And if there's no one sitting in the masjid, then you say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. The second thing is that you pray two rak'ahs. The third thing is that there should be no buying or selling in the masjid. The fourth thing is that no one should unsheathe his sword or unsheathe. I'm not sure. Anyway, pull his sword out of the. I don't know anything about weapons. Nah. The fifth thing. Oh yeah. Nah. And he should not raise his voice in the masjid unless it is for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should not talk in the masjid about things that are not related to the akhirah, meaning frivolous talk in the masjid. The thing after that is that he should not compete with anybody for a place, or dispute and argue with somebody as to the place that they may have been sitting in. After that, they should also not, They should not come and make the row ranks too tight that would make it uncomfortable for the people in the masjid. They should not also walk between or in front of someone who is praying. They should not spit in the masjid. They should not crack their knuckles or play with other parts of their body in the masjid. And in general, the masjid should, the person should stay far away from bringing any type of filth or impurity into the masjid, and keep the foolish people and the crazy people away from the masjid as well. And in general, he should maintain the dhikr, or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid. Now, then after that, the Shaykh, he went on to say, mentioning some ayats as it relates to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saying that if one can do these things, then the masjid will be a protection for him from the shaytan. So the Shaykh, he mentioned the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. And for the likes of this, then let those who do actions, or then let them who do the work, do their actions. Likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And for this, let the people race and compete in. يعني meaning that the good deeds. And likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا تَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And that which you put forth for yourself, you will find it with Allah. It is khayr, it is better, and it is even more in reward. And then the Shaykh, he said, so if we can do these things, and if we protect our masajid from the things that we mentioned, and we do what we are supposed to do in the masajid, then we will find that these masjids will be for us a protection from the shaytan. And then the Shaykh, he closed off by making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are the muhafizin, those who protect their salat and who make their salat on their prescribed times in the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا. نستسمحكم في الأسئلة يا شيخ ممكن؟
أنا متعب شوي لكن لا بأس.
طيب, the Shaykh, I asked him if we could take any questions. The Shaykh, he said that he was somewhat tired, but that he would take some questions. So if there are any questions from the floor, it's preferred that they be written for purposes of the microphone, but if not, we'll take some from the floor. And if not, then we can let the Shaykh. Seems like something somebody wants. Nah, go ahead. Nah. The question here is with the Shaykh. He mentioned that one should not talk about the affairs of dunya in the masjid. The questioner is asking, are there some narrations where some of the Sahaba, they used to talk about some of these affairs in the masjid, and how do we understand that? الشيخ تكلم في
قضيه. نعم الشيخ, بارك الله فيكم الشيخ. ذكرت ان المساجد ما جعلت الا لذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى والصلاه وما الى ذلك, ولا نتحدث عن اي امر من امور الدنيا. فالاخ يسال هل من دليل يرجح هذا القول؟ بارك الله فيكم.
يعني شيخنا, يعني يستشكل ان هناك بعض الروايات تدل على ان الصحابه كانوا يتكلمون في أمور الدنيا
في أمر الجاهلية أحيانا, هذا ليس على سبيل الديمومة, لو كان أحيانا لا بأس.
نعم.
لكن المسجد جاء في الحديث أن الرجل صلاته يعني ما في المسجد هو في صلاة.
نعم.
ما دام منتظر للصلاة. جاءت الأحاديث ذلك أيضا أنه ما جلس ذكر الله فله من الأجر والثواب الشيء الكثير. وبعض الأحاديث خاصة أنه لم يعني ينتف من مكانه الذي جلس فيه بعد الصلاة, كان له أجر حجة وعمرة تامة. فالأصل في المسجد أنه يقيم على ذكر الله ويكثر من ذكر الله وما يتعلق بالذكر. أمور الدنيا تكون عارضة قليلة, وليس المسجد للتفكه وتداول الأحاديث السوية والإكثار من الضحك والانبساط فيه. فإن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه كما في صحيح البخاري لما سمع رجلا ينادي أخاه أو ينادي صديق له فيرفع صوته في المسجد, فجاء له فسأله قال من أين أنت؟ فقال له يعني بأنه ليس من المدينة. قال لو كنت من المدينة لأوجعتكما ضربا. فينبغي تعظيم المسجد وتطهيره ومكان لإقامة ذكر الله. فالحديث العارض يكون قليل بقدره, لا يسترسل فيه الشيء والشراء وأمور الدنيا, فإنه ما قدم إلى المسجد إلا ترك تلك الأمور وأقبل متعلقا يناجي ربه ويسأله ويستغفره يكثر من ذكر الله عز وجل في المسجد.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخنا.
تكون عارضة قليلة.
نعم.
هي الأصل.
نعم جزاك الله خير. Shaykh Hafidhullah, in answering the question, again, the question is relating to not speaking about affairs of the dunya in the masjid, and that there are some narrations that mention that the Sahaba did so. Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, nah, there are some narrations, that the Sahaba did indeed talk about these things. He said, however, this is something that is very minimal, and that this should not be something that becomes excessive, and that it should be done in a very moderate manner. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in so many hadith that the person, as long as he is waiting for the salah, he is considered to be in the salah, so that he should use that time in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there are other hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the one who prays in the masjid and he sits down after that prayer and he stays in that state, that he will receive the reward of making hajj and umrah. Completely, as it comes in the hadith. And that is that the asl, or the base rule that a person, the reason why the person comes to the masjid, is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to magnify Allah. And he left off all of the affairs of the dunya to go to the masjid. So for him to come into the masjid and act as if he's outside the masjid is almost negating the purpose of him coming to the masjid. However, so as the Shaykh said, that these things, to talk about other than the, as is mentioned in the hadith, the umur al-jahiliyyah, or some of the affairs of jahiliyyah like the Sahaba used to do sometimes, that this was done with moderation, and it was not something that was done successfully. And it comes in Sahih Bukhari that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he heard a man in the masjid calling out to his calling out to his brother, or calling out to one of his friends. So Umar went to the man. He called him. He said, "Come here." He said, "Where are you from?" And so the man indicated that he wasn't from Al Medina, meaning the Medina that we know of today. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, "If you were from Medina, If you were from Medina, I would have hit you. I would have hit you. I would have punched you for doing what you did, screaming in the masjid like that." However, once he realized that the man was not from Medina and perhaps didn't know, he had mercy upon him. So, the masajid, they have only been made for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these other things that come should be unintentional, meaning that a person does not come to the masjid for doing these things, rather he comes to the masjid for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ما يتعلق بالحديث بالمسجد على ثلاثة أقسام. القسم الأول قوم إذا دخلوا المسجد أكثر من ذكر الله والاستغفار وقراءة القرآن وأقبلوا على الله عز وجل، ولا بأس أن يتحدثوا في أمور الدنيا أحيانا وقليلا وبقدر هذا الشيء، فهؤلاء هم من عظموا المسجد حق التعظيم. والقسم الثاني قوم على النقل من ذلك تماما، إذا دخل المسجد لأنه دخل مقهى لا نسمع منه إلا أصوات الموسيقى جوالات وغير ذلك، ولا يتهيب من هذا، لا ليس له لهذا المكان هيبة ولا تعظيم ولا توقير في قلبه ولا في نفسه، ويضحك وينبسط كأنه جالس في مقهى ويضيع وقته في القيل والقال والأمور هذه، وكأنه ليس في مسجد، كأنه في مقهى أو في الشارع أو في أي مكان آخر. ولا ريب أن هذا مفرط ضيع. والصنف الثالث قوم كذلك خالف هؤلاء، فإنهم منعوا أي كلام في المسجد مطلقا بغير ذكر الله، وهذا لا شك أنه منافي لورود الأحاديث الدالة على جواز ذلك أحيانا. نعم
أحسن الله إليك.
كان عندنا وسط، كان طرفين قيض.
نعم أحسن الله إليك. Shaykh Hafidhullah, he went and adding to this thing, to what he previously said, he said that the people, as it relates to speaking in the masjid, are of three different categories. The first category are the people who increase heavily in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon entering to the masjid, and also in reading the Quran. And they may at some point talk about things other than the Quran and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with the limits that we mentioned previously. And these are the ones who have truly glorified and held in high station the masjid. The second type of people are the people who, when they enter into the masjid, it's like they enter into a club or the cafeteria. They go in to the masjid, and you don't hear anything from them except for music coming from their cell phones, the type of rings that they may have on their phone. This person comes into the masjid, and he wastes his time talking about this one said that, and he said, and she said. So he has no respect for the masjid. He laughs in the masjid and busts out laughing and acts like everything, you know, acts as if he's in the street or if he's at a club. So these people, no doubt, they're negligent as it relates to the respect that one should have for the masjid. Then you have the third type that completely prohibits any speech or any talking inside the masjid. He wants the masjid to remain totally silent. He said, and this, without a doubt, is in opposition to the ahadith that we mentioned earlier, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or some of the companions talked about some of the things inside the masjid. So there are, as we see from here, two extremes in the middle course, and the truth is in the middle. Now, where's the asina? This one is first. This question says, what is the advice to the administration of the masjid if there is one who continues to be disruptive and threatens people and damages property of the masjid? How should the masjid deal with an individual like this in the land of Kufr?
الشيخ بارك الله فيكم الشيخ أحسن الله عليكم ما هي نصيحتكم الشيخ للإدارة القائمة على المسجد
ما أقدر أخذ
أقدر يا شيخ
صوت غير واضح
نعم أقول يا شيخ بارك الله فيكم ما هي النصيحة التي تقدمها الشيخ لإدارة المسجد علما بأنه
يعني there's one يعني واحد يستمر في التشويش على الناس
أنه يا شيخ يعني إذا في أحد الإخوة يعني يستمر في التشويش على الإخوة ويعني يهددهم وما إلى ذلك
يلعب
يعني يسبهم يرميهم بالوعيد وما إلى ذلك يعني يكسر الأشياء الخاصة بالمسجد وما إلى ذلك فما هي النصيحة بارك الله فيكم التي تقدمها إلى الإدارة بارك الله فيكم
علما بأننا في بلاد الكفر
علما أننا نسكن
أننا في بلاد الكفر
علما أننا في بلاد الكفر يا شيخ بارك الله فيك
بالنسبة لإدارة المسجد عليهم يعني مسؤولية عظيمة أتولوا ونسأل الله لنا ولهم الثواب والأجر ولا شك أن ما أقدموا عليه أمر جليل عظيم تأخلص فيه نالوا فيه ثوابا وأجرا كبيرا فالإدارة تتولى شؤون المسجد من حيث تنصيب الإمام وكذلك بما يتعلق شؤون المسجد المالية وشؤون المسجد الدعوية وكذلك شؤون المسجد الاجتماعية المتعلق بالحي الذي فيه المسجد وكذلك ما يتعلق بالمسجد من تعليم ومدارس التحفيظ ونحو ذلك المسؤولية عليهم متعددة الجوانب ولا ريب أن من يعمل ويجتهد وينشط الدعوة لا شك أنه سيصادف أناس من الحاسدين والمغرضين والمثبطين الذين لا هم لهم إلا التقيد في الماء العكر وتتبع العثرات في الزلات بدل أن يكون سندا لإخوانه عز وجل وأن يحسن النصح وأن يتلطف معهم حينهم نجده يثير الشغب والفتن والقلاقل عليهم بأي زلة بدت له وربما خطأ شيئا وهو المخطئ فيه وربما صوب شيئا وهو كذلك مخطئ فيه وعلى العموم إنه لا يسلم جماعة المسجد القائمين على المسجد من مثل هؤلاء، فعليه من يصبروا تحلوا بالصبر وأن يتلطفوا في معاملة مثل هؤلاء، إلا من أكثر التشغيل والتشويش وكذا فإن مثل هذا يمنع ويحذر منه. ويبعد المسجد عن جماعة المسجد حتى لا يفسد على الآخرين. هذه تقريبا نصيحة موجزة مجملة. نعم.
الله يعني. Bismillah. The Shaykh, Habib Allah Ta'ala, answered this question. He said, as it relates to the administration of the masjid, then they have a great responsibility upon their shoulders. And then the Shaykh, he made dua for them and asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to bless or to give them and him, or him and them, the reward. Nah. And that is because the administration, they are above all of the affairs that relate to the masjid. As it relates to the financial responsibilities and the responsibility of giving da'wah. And likewise, all of the communal and social responsibilities that come along with being the administration of a masjid. That is the communal responsibilities that are related to the community that surrounds the masjid. And likewise, they have responsibilities as it relates to people memorizing the Quran and the children memorizing the Quran and learning the deen. So their responsibilities are varied. And there's no doubt about them. So whoever acts and is diligent in his actions, then he will find, and this is something very important and for every administration to know, that as you work hard, and the harder that you work, the more people you will find that are hasidun, or that are jealous and envious of the work that you're doing. And likewise, you will find the people who do not want to see progress for whatever reason. And the only concern that they have is to make sure that things don't progress. Instead of being one who helps them in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting involved and seeing that progress take place, their only concern is to criticize what is already happening. So these type of people, it is upon the administration initially to advise these individuals and to be gentle in dealing with them and to be patient. And then the Shaykh, he went on to say that in general, the people who are in charge of the other people's affairs, the people who have been given the responsibility of other people's affairs, it is upon them to be patient. It is upon them to be gentle with these types of individuals, unless we find that they are consistent or that they are persistent and they're being disruptive or threatening people or damaging the property to the end of it. If this is something that is persistent from them, then they should be prevented from coming to the masjid and they should be warned against. Meaning that these people should be, you know, that we should be cautious of them and we should make other people beware of them and prevent them from coming into the masjid. And that is so that they will not disrupt the harmony of everybody else that wants harmony in the masjid. So the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala, he said that this is a general summarized advice as it pertains to the question, meaning that this is not dealing with a specific situation, and specific situations need specific answers. Wallahu a'lam. And inshallah ta'ala, we've taken almost 20 minutes in questions, and the Shaykh is tired and he's sick. Nasal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yashfiakum ya Shaykhana wa yu'afiakum. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل ما قلت في ميزان حسناتكم يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. وجزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا وإلى اللقاء في أمان الله. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله.